Welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about starting over, we talk about why most people don't. Because the truth is, it's easy to blame your circumstances, your past, your pain, your story. And for a while, yeah, it's going to feel justified. But at some point, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to stay here or am I going to take massive responsibility for my life? And that decision changes everything because God does not care how late it is. He cares if you're willing. So if you've ever felt like you're too far gone, if you're too late, too stuck, this conversation is going to speak right to your soul. Today's guest is Debbie Weiss, a woman who didn't just go through the hard things. She decided to stop letting that be what defines her. Debbie, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. I feel like I'm already excited for this conversation. You just seem like a lot of fun. Let's start here. Take me to the moment you realized your life wasn't going to change unless you did something about it. What happened?
I turned 50.
Ah.
So some of your listeners might not be 50 yet. And maybe for someone else, it doesn't have to be a number necessarily, 50 or any age. It could just be some kind of moment. But for me, it was 50. I think there was something about that number that made me think, wow, how am I possibly 50? How did it go so fast? And if this went so quickly, how fast are the next 50 going to go? And I think it also made me look at my life. And from the outside, like I honestly had nothing to complain about, live in a nice place, the family, the kids, the job, like the whole thing. But inside, I was dying because I had lived my life for everyone else up until that point. And I just knew that something had to change. Except I didn't know what, and I didn't know what I wanted to change and what I was aiming for.
Had you had whispers up to that? I'm about to be 50, and I feel like my whole life has been like a series of whispers of just like, there's more, there is more, there is more. And I, of course, I'm a rebel girl. I ignored that for a long time.
I have to be honest, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And maybe I just never paid attention to it. Maybe that was like what made me say, hey, wait a second, something's
Yeah.
got to give. I just felt like my job was to take care of everyone else. And not that I'm saying that's a bad thing and that I wouldn't do
Of
that, all
course.
over again.
Yeah.
That's not the case. The thing that I wouldn't do again is that I'd stop allowing myself to be last on the list, or honestly, not even on the list at all. They're not mutually exclusive. You can take care of your family members and help other people and still take care of yourself.
I love you for saying that out loud because I think that's an important message that my listeners need to hear on repeat. That yes, of course, I'm a mom. I'm going to take care of my family. My husband works to provide for us. I'm going to take care of him. But I'm nobody if I'm not taking care of myself first. So I think that's incredible. You said you had a victim mentality. I think this is going to be kind of a two-part question for me because one, I feel like I see a lot of women give themselves to that identity of taking care of everybody else, but they do it in a way that's almost manipulative so they could stay the victim and they never really have to look inside. And I know that sounds harsh, but I'm just wondering about your perspective on that and how victim mentality actually showed up in your daily thinking.
So I didn't know I had that mentality.
Ah.
It wasn't until I turned 50 and I realized something had to change and I started, making some small shifts, kind of opening my mind to different ideas
Yeah.
that I heard about this thing called a victim mentality. And it's like that moment where you really have to take a hard look, hard, honest look at yourself,
Yeah.
right? Because it's hard to realize, oh my gosh, I have been blaming everyone and everything else
Yeah.
for the outcome of my life instead of taking responsibility. And that was difficult to swallow. But
Yeah.
then on the flip side, it was empowering because it made me say, stuff happens to everyone. It happens at different times and different things. And it's life. Things are still going to happen, even though I, at that point, had turned 50. However, it does not define me. And it really is empowering in the sense that I can take responsibility regardless of all the stuff that life throws at me. So I found it more empowering, but it's so hard to take an honest look at yourself.
Yes.
But, if you don't, you're going to just stay the same.
Yeah, everywhere you go, there you are, and that will never, absolutely never change. I think, what do you when you look at people now, 'cause I think it's once you get on the other side of that, right? It's easy to see that in other people. We can see kind of where we were. What do you think, what would you say the listeners, what the cost is to stay in that mindset for so long?
Something that I read, I don't even remember what book it was, that really stuck with me is this is your one and only life.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know what? Enough. This is my one and only life. Do I want to, and waste isn't the right word. I just can't think of the right word. But do I want to not give myself a chance for what I want? And I want to be clear, I had no idea what I wanted. And I think that's important because to me, it was like, well, what does it matter? It's not like I ever dreamt of being a podcaster or an author or a musician. Like, nope, I had none of that. So it wasn't like I had this dream that, I had always been pining for. But I didn't want to be that person to get to the end of their lives looking back with regret for coulda, shoulda, woulda. I just wanted to start seeing, well, what else is out there? And honestly, it's been over 12 years. I'll be 63 this year, and I'm still figuring it out. But it's an amazing life compared to where I was before.
And that's part of the journey of figuring it out. You were hesitant to say waste, but I say it all the time. I'm watching people waste their lives. And I've heard it and I've read it and I've seen it everywhere. The cemetery is the most expensive place on earth because that is where everybody's dreams die with them. And I think that's a cost. I think we all came here for this human experience and our job is just to make the best of it. And it doesn't mean that at some point you're going to arrive. There's not going to be a moment where Debbie turns 70 and wow, I'm finally arrived. And it's like the whole journey. That's the process. We always get to grow through this. I am obsessed though, like this turning 50 thing. I'm like, how does this become the shift internally? Were you always focused on like birthdays? Was like 50 a heavy number for you? And it was like the midlife crisis mentally. How did this become like that pivotal? Huge. It's huge for you.
So, I love my birthday. I will always love my birthday. I don't care how old I am. Like, I'm not one who's ever gonna
Who
hide
says
about my
I quit
age.
having birthdays at 23?
Yeah, no, that's
Right.
not me. I'm fine. I don't say,
Yeah.
"Oh, I'm 39."
Love
No, I'm
that.
not. I'm 62.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. So, I don't think it was that. I think it was something about that half a century kind of thing. It was where I was at that moment. About a year before, I had watched my father, who I had been his caregiver for 30 years. He passed away. He constantly had all these regrets. My mother, who's thankfully still with us, she always talks about all these things that she regrets.
Oh,
And
wow.
after learning about the victim mentality, like you said
Yes.
earlier, then you start noticing. Oh. And I see where I got that from. Not
Yeah.
that I'm finger pointing, but like
It's
that
a
was just
gift.
it's exactly
Yeah.
a gift that I'll take it as a gift
Yeah.
because maybe I wouldn't have understood it if I wasn't given it as a
Right.
gift. But so I think that like all of those things kind of came together at the same time. Also, I was at a place where my kids were changing. My oldest, I have two boys. My oldest, and I had my kids later in life. My oldest son was, I guess, maybe entering the teen years at that point. And he was originally diagnosed on the autism spectrum. Then he added ADHD and depression and anxiety, and later down the line, a bunch of other things. And so I saw how hormones were negatively impacting him. I also saw at that time my husband's attitude and mental health start to decline. And so I think all of these things combined was kind of like making me not be able to breathe. And then just turning 50 pushed it, over the finish line.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think those are the experiences where people either kind of withdraw inside themselves and they give up and they stay in the shame loop or the spiral. And I think it's incredible that you used it to propel yourself to a different life. And I think there's a huge difference between like acknowledging the pain and staying stuck in it. And they're both very hard to do. What do you think helped you not just acknowledge it, but like what was the catalyst for you to move through it?
I think I've always had this self-talk in my head that says, well, other people did it or do it. Why not me? Like, what makes them so special? Although I say it like that, but I did not, growing up, have, I don't want to say any self-confidence, but I did not have a lot of self-confidence at all. However, as I've grow older and gain more confidence with life experience and prove to yourself, you can get through hard things that you didn't think you could. I remember thinking that when I was so scared to give birth, right? For the first time. It was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then I just said to myself, look at the trillions of other women who did it and
And
survived.
survived.
Like, you'll get through it too. Good thing I didn't know how difficult it would be for the first one, but you get through it, right? We all get through it. And so I think that that was kind of the mindset that I had at that time.
I love that. What do you notice in other people? Like, what is something that people really don't want to admit about their own responsibility?
Oh, it's so easy to blame everyone else and everything else. Oh my goodness. I mean, like I said, I did that for the longest time. It seemed like one thing after another kept happening to me. And my friends and family, they saw it too. And so they were kind of feeding into that story, quote unquote, helping me see how hard my life was, especially compared to their circumstances. And why me? And all of the things. I totally lost my train of thought. How's that? You don't have to edit
No,
that.
it's
What was your
perfect.
question? Oh my gosh. This is what
No, it happens to me all the time on the show, and I'm not quite 50, very close.
when you're 62
But
now.
it's just about that taking that responsibility. And I mean, you hit it spot on where number one, misery loves company. And I think that's a great message for listeners right now is that sometimes people are just going to sign off on your bullshit. They're not going to call you to the next level. They're not going to help you hold yourself accountable. And it makes everybody else feel better when you stay the same.
Oh, that is so
Yeah.
true.
So, of course, people are going to sign off. If you look at social media, what are the posts that go crazy? It's the negative ones, right? Someone that complains every day. I watch this algorithm and I am just mesmerized by how many people are flocking to the comment section. And then you have someone who's like, I just found this really great business opportunity. Crickets. So be very careful. That victim mentality is very contagious. And the amount of people that don't want to take responsibility will always outweigh the people that do. So yeah, you did answer
Oh,
my
phew,
question.
good. And you know what?
What?
And with that said, you can convince yourself that you are taking responsibility because I could think to myself, and I did, I am taking responsibility. Look, so many people in my circumstances over those years and onward actually would be hiding under the covers. People would say to me all the time, how do you even get out of bed in the morning with all these things that you have going on in your life at once? And I felt like, look at me. I'm strong. I'm capable. I'm doing it. I am taking responsibility in that way, but that's different than taking responsibility for the direction of your life and ownership of your life.
I love that, taking that responsibility for the direction. You're in your bio, I read how you kind of went through the caregiving, the infertility and loss. What would be an important message for listeners about moving forward without dismissing what you've been through? Because life still happened and it matters. So how do you kind of hold space for both things to be true?
That's a really good question because I think there's, on the far ends of the spectrum, there are those people who stay in grief really too long, right? They lose themselves there. And then there's others that just move past it too quickly, that they're not feeling their emotions. And some of those things that you talked about, grief isn't just about having a loved one die. And I can think of so many times in my life where I suffered a loss and it didn't have to do with physical death of a person. So I think you have to, it's okay to have both at the same time, right? You can be in grief and feel grief and still move forward. It's
And
not
I
an
have
either or.
Exactly. I mean, I'm experiencing that now with kids. I have six kids. Two of them have moved out and I've still got four here, but like I grieve those big babies every day because I'm like, I grieve it. But then I'm also very grateful because I still am in the experience of being a mom and I'm grateful to be able to see where their space is. So, I mean, it's a whole thing. I think that's one of the secrets to life is being able to say both things can be true. You know, you can grieve these moments and also have incredible gratitude and be in the moment of where you're at and still just be super sad that nothing's the same. Like, I'm sometimes just super sad. Like, why can't they just all stay babies?
Exactly. I totally can relate to that. My younger son and I were, I don't know, we were reminiscing about something, and then he wanted to know like people who were on his baseball team when he was 12. And I'm like, I have a picture. And then I pulled up the picture and I remembered when we
Oh,
were
I
in
love it.
Cooperstown with the team and, my husband was alive and, the whole whatever. And it was a little bit of a painful, but such a good memory. And instead of being sad about it, I think I just felt joy that we all had such good memories and, can reflect on them.
I love that. You also talk about small shifts. Tell us what one of those would be that you use. Like, what's a small shift that actually made a real difference for you?
So I'll tell you the first thing I did after I turned 50, when I realized something had to give and I didn't know what it was. When I looked at, all the major categories of my life, it was glaringly obvious to me which had to change first or which I had to address first. And that was my health, because I've always struggled with my weight. And at that point, when I turned 50, I was 100 pounds overweight, probably more. And I've been on diets since I was in single digits. And I've gained and lost, and like everyone who's done that. And I thought, okay, I have to take care of this. And now it's different. It's not just about how I look and how I feel and clothes and all that. It's my health, because now I'm 50. I want to be there as my kids get older. I want to be there, hopefully, for future grandchildren
Grandbabies.
and whatnot. So my motivation changed. I decided at that point I was going to go back to Weight Watchers because that was the most realistic thing for me. But I decided I got to obviously do something different. I've lost weight before, but then I always gain it back. And so I decided that instead of going in all gung-ho like I used to, I've got to learn lose 25 pounds in 3 months, otherwise I'm a failure. And if I eat anything quote unquote bad, just forget it. I have no willpower, that whole thing.
The all
I
or
said,
nothing.
I'm going to go back to Weight Watchers, and I am going to go to a meeting every week. This is when in person was the only option. I'm going to go to a meeting every week. Nothing else. I don't care if I exercise. I don't care if I eat Oreos all day. Nothing. That is not my goal. I'm just showing up once a week. And that's what I did. And I was proud of myself every week. You did it. You achieved your goal. And I did that for a couple of months. And I probably gained like 3 or 5 pounds. But it was okay. Once I had that down, then I added something else, and something else. Through this whole process, I really changed my mindset around the whole weight loss thing, because that was another area where I felt like I was a victim. Why me? Why did I have to have this problem from the minute I was born? You know, blah, blah, blah. And also the idea of a diet, you know, and now this is cliche, but it wasn't then. It's a lifestyle. You're not going off this, Deb. This is it for the rest of your life. That doesn't mean that you're not going to eat pizza, bagels, and ice cream, my three favorite foods. I'm going to eat them. And when I do, I'm going to eat them because I feel like eating them, and I'm going to eat them and enjoy them without guilt. And it doesn't matter if it takes me a year, 2 years, 5 years to lose 100 pounds. Who cares? And that was actually when I discovered how powerful doing something so small can actually be.
And you did that. And I think that's important too. I talk a lot to my audience about the importance of building trust. And you're kind of talking about that all or nothing mentality. It's either I'm going to come in here and I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 4 weeks, or I quit and I'm going to eat everything, right? Or it's the all or nothing. You build trust with yourself by doing the little tiny thing, you know? And it's so stupid. Like I was this 10K fanatic. I got 10,000 steps before noon for like 3 years in a row. I fell off and it was so hard to go back. Like, for what though? It's just walking, right? Like, just get on the treadmill, press go. And I had such a block. And I'm like, okay, what if I just do one lap a day on the treadmill? One lap a day, that's it. I can get off when I want. And that's it. Just I built that trust with myself again instead of I'm going to get 10,000 steps before noon.
Exactly.
I love that. You just built this incredible, relationship with yourself of trust. You're gonna do what you say you're gonna do. And the fact that you said too that you celebrate, I think that's powerful, and I think it's very important for people to do that. What is something that people think they really need to change, but they don't?
Well, I think you could probably say everything, right? Because that could be one thing that people point blame. I don't have enough money. If only I had a husband. If only, you know, I needed a better job. Oh, you know, I don't think there is one thing, one universal thing. I think it's different for all of us. And I think taking, you know, responsibility for your life, picking one area that you want to improve or change. And then breaking it down to the smallest thing possible and being okay with that. Because I think sometimes people think, well, so she went to a meeting. Look, she didn't lose weight. So what was the point? But it got me going. It's the domino effect.
And it's that building trust, you guys. That's everything. That's the point. Build the
Yeah,
trust.
I love that. You know what? I think that's a great way to think about it because I do that now every day. I made up my own, like, little, it's sitting right here. That's why I picked it up, my own little daily planner sheet. And I pick like my top three or four priorities every day. And then I've, you know, there's other things on that list. And if I don't get to those, it's
It's fine.
okay, right? Because we can't do everything. But if, at least if I could do a little thing that moves me forward, job well done. And I know I'll do the same thing or more the next day, the next day, the next day.
I love that. And that's definitely a message that's going to hit for listeners. Just we're not here to get straight A's. Like, if we could just see students still graduate, right? So not every day has to be an A plus day. Just move the needle a tiny bit. Where are you 365 days later? If you do the
Yeah.
one thing rather than sitting in your own shit and feeling sorry for yourself and blaming the world and doing nothing, where could you be if you do a tiny thing every day for 365 days? It changes everything in your life,
Yeah.
especially
And
the
you,
relationship with yourself.
yeah, exactly. And it feels like it's not enough, but it is so enough. And it does add up. It really does. It's like you're talking about a 10K. It's like that, you know, my brother was very successful with that couch to 5K. I mean, you know, same exact principle. It feels like nothing to take 1,000 steps a day. Everything starts with a step.
One step, you guys. What would you say to my listener right now who just feels like it's too late for them, Debbie?
Well, obviously, at 62, I think it's never too late. And after I wrote my first book, I was in this group with authors, with a famous author. There was like 15 people. And before I went on, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be so embarrassing. I'm going to be the only one who's, 60 or whatever I was at that time. I'm telling you, I was one of the youngest. There were people on there in their mid-80s who wrote
I
their
love
first
that.
book. As long as you're breathing, it is never too late.
Yep, I love that. What is something about you now that your younger self would never believe?
Oh my gosh, they would never believe that I stood on stages, that I got on podcast, like that I was purposely trying to make myself visible because all I ever did as a child, because I didn't feel good about the way I looked, was hide.
Hide. I love that. Debbie, tell us where we could find all of your stuff, all of your books, all of your work. How can we get resourced with you?
Best place is my website, and that'll bring you to all my socials as well. And it's DebbieRWeiss.com. Got to put the R in there.
Nice. I hope you guys are watching the video too, because she has the cutest like aesthetic back here, and it's very pink. And I keep, I train myself to look at the camera when I talk. Okay,
Yeah, I'm not good
I'm not doing that for this episode because I just keep looking. I want to see all the things. I'm like, what are these fancy jars here? I see the stacks of books. I love it.
Those are my sprinkles.
Oh, sweet. See? And there's literally a book called The Sprinkle Effect that I'm looking
That's
at.
where it
So
comes from.
how much fun is that? Oh my
I
gosh. Okay, you guys. Debbie, this is the part of the show where I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you went through hard things. We're all in the arena. It's that you stopped hiding behind all of that. You took ownership of your life, even when it would have been easier for you not to. You chose to shift your thinking, to move, to build. And even after everything you've been through, you still are out here to be visible and be seen. And I have incredible respect for anyone stepping into their potential and for everybody who's willing to move the needle. I think that more people need to know who you are and that you are just definitely the epitome of every message I want expressed on this show. It's never too late. Take the responsibility, move the needle, all of this. I think you have incredible courage. I think that, your honesty is beautiful, and I think that's what makes you special. To everyone listening, you guys, it's not too late. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. You don't get a sticker for suffering, okay? I don't care how long you've been stuck. It is not too late, but you have to choose. No one's going to do this for you. And God didn't bring you this far just to leave you in a life you don't even want. You are allowed to start again. You're allowed to shift. You're allowed to take your life back. Just have to get radically honest with yourself. And please remember, your mess is your message. Even the years that you felt like you lost, even the mindset that kept you stuck, even the pain. That's your launch pad, okay? That's where your power is going to come from. If this episode spoke to you, Debbie and I need you to do a favor and share it out with someone who needs it. It's a very selfless act, but there is someone who really needs to hear her today, someone that she can speak to that nobody else is going to resonate with. So please do the very selfless thing of sharing the show. Leave a review. Stars are cute. I appreciate them. But if you type the words, that's how we actually move up in the space. If you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Debbie, this was such a delight. I knew it would be. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Made my day.